following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. What are the good old days? I was curious, so I Googled it. Google says, the good old days are a period in the past, often seen as significantly different from the present, especially noticeably better or worse. And you know, I never really liked dictionary definitions. They never seem to have character to them. I always read them in my head like a robot would. I mean, definitions are pretty cut and dry, black and white, but I'm a songwriter, and this is The Root Note. And people have all kinds of different ways of defining love. Or as in last season, what's the difference between boys and girls? And every answer was different because of every different past. So I'm about to play you a clip that sparked this season's question. What are the good old days?
The weird thing is, now I'm exactly where I want to be. I got my dream job at Cornell. And I'm still just thinking about my old pals. Only now they're the ones I made here. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them.
Genie from Aladdin.
What were the good old days?
Yeah, what does that mean to you?
Still waiting for them.
Hey!
Well, these are good days, but this is not old yet.
Well, that's true.
There, see how I dug my way out of that one?
Good save.
Well, geez, you know, I suppose the good old days would be being a child and not having two adults. Adulting is definitely overrated. All the pressures and stress that comes with it. I do sort of miss being so carefree. But then again, you know, we didn't have social media and all of that stress. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine trying to be a kid, you know, elementary, middle school, high school, now, watching what our kids are going through. I don't envy them. And I'm glad that we did not have social media back in my day.
Yes.
But, I mean, I really, these are the good old days for me. Like Brett said, they're not old, but this is definitely the best times of my life for sure. Not that I ever had it bad, to be honest. I've been lucky and kind of lived a charmed life, I must say.
Brad, what about you?
Yeah, what she said. No, good. You know, things were good, like when I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old. We grew up kind of on the edge of, you know, up in Pacific Northwest, sort of on the west, the eastern edge of civilization. To the west of us was Seattle, and to the east of us was like New York. And there was woods in between. And, what we'd do, in our backyard, we had motorcycles. And if you can imagine a little 7-year-old kid on a motorcycle, just cruising around the woods and, just wrecking it, you know, running into trees, running into other motorcyclists because it's too heavily, wooded or whatever, and never getting hurt. It was just amazing.
Trent Miller's theme song.
I think we're in the middle of them, and we're going to realize that, and we're still fairly young. For us, the good old days might be just back to when the babies were little and crawling around and didn't want much more than a hug and a good night story. But we've enjoyed our kids at every age. They're really great kids and smart and funny and kind and, everything we hope for so far. Knock on wood again. But so I guess the good old days would be when the kids were babies.
I kind of feel the same way as Lisa does, which is, I'm not a big one for nostalgia. I kind of love what we've done and what we're doing. I mean, if there were good old days, it was, we love babies. We had four of them. I could have had, I mean, I would have considered having more if it wasn't a stupid thing to do. We love having, I love little kids and toddlers and babies. So if there was a good old days, it was when they were all small. As hectic and crazy a time as that was, if there was financial uncertainty compared to today, or if there was, you know, craziness compared to today, which is just a different type of crazy, it was when they were, and when we could scoop them up in our arms and literally I could carry a couple of them around at a time. We were their entire worlds. So we could have that kind of relationship with our child that we, you know, you naturally and appropriately lose over time. If those are the good old days, maybe that would be it for us, for me.
Finish nothing.
The good old days are everything but today. Well, like, I remember, like, way back good old days with my family when I was a kid. I remember going to the park one day after church for a picnic, and my mom hates having water splashed on her. And my dad had instigated a water fight with all of us kids. I made the mistake of, I had a little bit of water left in whatever thing I was using, and I, like, playfully, like, flicked a little at my mom. And I don't remember much, but the next thing I know is I was pinned on the ground, and I was having a cooler of water poured on me. And that was good old days. I don't know, you know, like things like Easter Sundays. Like my family has like traditions tied up in everything. Like I get my mom a Mother's Day card for her birthday and a birthday card for Mother's Day because I got that messed up once, or like, you know, just like, but I remember what made that memory happen. Or like, I remember when I was a kid laying on the floor in the living room and helping my dad peel potatoes and eating raw potatoes. Like, I don't know why that sticks out to me, but like, we had this little apartment. This is before my little brother and little sister. It was just my dad and Susie and I and my mom. So it was just four of us, but I don't know why that sticks out, but I remember that. Eating raw potatoes
and having a cooler dumped on you, pinned to the ground.
Well, just like being a kid. Our family, my childhood was pretty cool. It was memory making. The good old, when I was a kid, when things were simple, I guess, is like what the good old days were. I have good old days, like phases, like with people in my life.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's like your childhood good old days and like your college good old days, and even like that season when we moved back to Memphis after college. I remember going on road trips with you in college and other people and getting running out of gas.
All right. Do I need to tell this story?
Yeah, that's a good one. I had nothing to do with it other than hitting the brake.
All right, so we went to Texas to go see, at that time it was our favorite band, Flickerstick. And we were on our way back, and we stopped at a gas station, and somehow we all get out, but nobody fills up the gas.
I offered to pay, and I was told no, and because it was me and three other guys, Shane and two other guys, and I offered to pay, and they were like, no, we got this. So I went inside and went to the bathroom, and I came back out assuming, because I was sitting in the back seat, that somebody had done their job. But keep going.
We stopped in Little Rock, Arkansas. She didn't have a gas gauge on her car that worked.
But I had a gas gauge.
When we stopped,
I didn't have dashboard light.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we left. And we knew we had a quarter of a tank left when we stopped.
Hey.
But we made it all the way to...
We were in Arkansas about to cross the bridge into Memphis.
Actually, in West Memphis. And we were about to go cross the bridge into Memphis.
And you were driving, correct? Almost.
Yeah, I was driving. All of a sudden, the car shuts off. Can't get it started again. And real quick, we figured, hey, nobody did put gas in this car. We could see like an Exxon station or something. Maybe not quite a mile.
Yeah, but we had to push the car uphill.
It's just under a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all got out and started pushing the car.
And they had me steer.
You were steering, right?
Yep.
So we're pushing up this hill. We got to the crest. And about a half mile down the highway, there's the exit to this gas station we're going to push it to. We start really get rolling down this, like, I'm at a full sprint behind the car trying to keep up with it. These other guys are trying to hop in the car, and it freaks Chrissy out. And she slams on the brakes. And I'm behind the car at full sprint. And what happens is I run into the trunk and slide up the back window.
I can still see it in my brain. But I have never... let me say, these three men, Shane and these two other guys, were always so kind to me. So, like, loving, like, just like the kind of guys you want in your life, you know? But in that moment, all of that was gone. It was because we were, I guess, what should have made it easy, because we were coasting downhill. So we should have been good to like roll into this gas station.
Yeah.
And I hit my brakes.
Yep. Car came to a full stop.
Oh, man.
So I had to climb off the car first and then get back behind and push again.
I vividly remember it looking in the rearview mirror and just seeing you like in an action movie, like just fly up on to the trunk of that car. It was, if anybody cares, it was a Buick LeSabre, and I love that car so much. I would drive another one. It was like driving a hovercraft.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so shocking that we had a quarter of a tank whenever we stopped to quote unquote get gas in Little Rock. And we made it. It's what, a 2.5 hour drive to Memphis or whatever it is. And we made it on a quarter of a tank of gas in a Buick LeSabre.
I would drive another one. Not gonna lie. I don't even care.
I agree with you when you say there's different stages that really stick out, you know, when you look back about when you think about good old days. When I was growing up, I think about good old days as having a fort or some kind of clubhouse. You know, Corey and I had tons of them. Another story that we didn't tell in the first episode was there's a really steep hill that ran along the bottom side of our house and the whole side of the pasture, like really steep. There's a road, kind of like a logging road, cut out along the side of it to get back through the pasture. I don't know the exact angle of this hill, but it's got to be close to like a 45 degree angle at some parts. Mm-hmm. You know, especially where this road is cut out, it's probably even steeper. At the top of the pasture to where this road is cut out, I don't know, it's like a 10 to 15 foot drop, almost straight down onto that road. And then it continues to go down all the way to the creek. But I remember Corey and I taking a big blue tarp, you know, spreading it out and grabbing the end of it, and we'd hold it closed and just take off running. And at the same time, we'd open it up and jump down over the side of this hill to see if we could fly down over that road into the creek.
Oh man.
When I started asking people about what were the good old days, and that, you know, that childhood wonder, that's definitely a big part of mine. Answer.
Can we just all stop to applaud Trish Yoder for raising two crazy wild boys? Yeah, Trish and Chester. But dang, when I was listening to that first episode, I was like, your mom.
Yeah.
Man, your good old days probably grayed her hair. I'm surprised you made it to even college age, because y'all were stupid.
Well, we never thought that, you know, we'd have to go to the hospital. there was always like in the back of our mind, it was like, it can be fixed with a paper towel.
Oh my gosh. But you'd think you'd learn after your brother sliced his leg open.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We were riding three-wheelers. We were racing down a driveway. It wasn't at our place, but at the end of the driveway, it's not a sharp turn, but if you're going fast enough, it gets pretty sharp. And at this turn, there's a milk house. And it's kind of sunk down into the ground as to where the rain spouting is kind of level to the drive. And even though I did beat him down the driveway, I was ahead of him at the time. He took it a little too quick and ended up slicing his thigh open on the rain spouting.
Bleeding profusely.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't bleeding. I looked at his leg and there is a good 3 or 4 inch lip coming off of his leg, like out from his leg. The actual cut was probably 6 inches across, and you could see all the way down to the bone. And I'm like, oh no, we're gonna get in trouble.
Every time he tells a story, all I can say is every time he tells a story, before he gets to the cut, he makes sure everybody knows he beat Corey in this race.
Yeah, I did beat him. Take him back to the house, and he's not crying. I think he was in shock, and he wasn't bleeding. He had
Corey's gonna be happy that he didn't say that. Or
he had
that.
He had a little blood coming out of the one side of the cut. But I mean, you could see all the meat and all that stuff in there.
I don't even
like
know.
It was just
this
hanging
so
out,
gross.
Like totally open.
It's so gross.
I'm just trying to paint a picture.
I know, picture painting.
So I was surprised to only see like a little trickle of blood going down the side of his leg. We got into the house and our aunt, she's like, "Oh, we're gonna have to take you to the ER," and I'm like, I don't know.
Shane's like, can we just put a Band-Aid on?
No, I was like, can we just get some paper towels and tape it shut?
See, so Shane's been wanting to tape major wounds shut. This goes back to our first episode.
Anyway, she cleaned him up and drove him to the ER. In the way Corey tells it, they didn't go to the hospital at first. They went to the local like clinic, and he said he walked in there and the nurse took one look at him and she said, oh no, we can't help you here. So they had to drive another 30 minutes to get to the hospital.
Man.
He ended up getting, it was close to 70 stitches. He had to do like 40 internal, like I don't know how you do internal stitches, but it was so deep of a cut, like I was telling you, that they had to, I guess, fold it down in increments where you do a stitch and then do a row of stitches and then push it down and do another row. I don't know. And that was a week before we went to the beach.
Aww.
On vacation. I remember him sitting in the shallow water, just sitting there with he had to put a brace and he had to wrap and everything. And he was just sitting there. He just sit there with his legs straight out. Having fun, Corey.
You're the worst. Oh my god. What was your worst injury?
When
as a
you
child?
Look back at it now, it's funny. He laughs about it too. What?
Did you have a really bad injury as a kid?
No. That's probably why I'm like, well, you could fix it with a paper towel and some tape.
injured.
That's pretty much all I ever did. All my big cuts and stuff, I just did it myself. Just kind of super glued it or just put paper towel on it and taped it over. I dislocated my fingers quite a few times, you know, skateboarding. And I just popped those back in. I went to the ER once for it, but the doctor, once I saw the doctor do it, I'm like, well, I can do this. So I did it myself. I ate a snake once.
Gross. All right,
I decided to take my bike out. I had a motorcycle at one point. I went to the state park and just parked the bike and went out, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to spend the night out here. I didn't get cell phone service or anything. Built myself a teepee shelter, and I'd right by the river as I'm making my teepee shelter. This snake comes along. I don't know what kind it was. It was one of those orange, white, and black ones.
Jeez.
Like the striped ones. I don't know what kind.
And you don't like snakes.
No, I don't. But I killed it and lit a fire and sharpened a steak with like three prongs on it. And I skinned the snake, kind of made like a little rotisserie over the fire, and I ate it.
You said it was gross, though.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Because it's a muscly animal. Yeah, muscly.
There's not a whole lot of meat on it.
Yeah.
There's gross. A lot of bones. It's the good old days. You don't always have them around unless you make them again.
She makes the best mixes. Shout out to Jessa Patterson.
It's what do you mean, CDs?
Oh, yeah. Her mix CDs were the bomb. And then, like, I remember, I distinctly remember when it went from being mix CDs to iPod mixes on, like, our little iPods. And then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shut up.
Where'd you go? Is that what you were saying?
We went everywhere. I mean, we would jump in the car and go to Chicago. We went to Dallas a couple times. We would go everywhere. She was, you know, always down for, what do the kids call it nowadays? Ride or die. She was my ride or die. She'd go anywhere. I will say, she always thought, this is before you and I dated, and I was not interested in you. She was always like, Shane is your hot friend.
Oh, it was everybody's hot friend.
If only they could see you now.
I know.
In the same shirt the sixth day in a row.
No, I just changed this tonight.
Oh, that's right. He changed for the podcast, guys.
No, I just change every time I take a shower.
So bad. Oh, my God. Like, there are photos.
Good old days.
Oh my God.
Go with you.
The good old days were going out all the time, not having to have a schedule. We used to go to the Hamptons a lot. We used to just get on my motorcycle and go for rides and not have anything to do on a Sunday morning. Being able to work out whenever we wanted to work out, go for a run, go for a bike, go scuba diving. You know, that's all pre, you know, family and kids.
Okay, how old were you?
We were
24.
We got married at 27, so we were 25, 26. That was pre-family. Post-family,
okay.
That is a whole different story. You know, from, you know, having children, raising them, you know, trying to teach them and expose them to all different things in life, such as, you know, they learn to ski, they learn to sail, scuba dive, you know.
Any activity, just let them try it, give it a shot, and have it in their wheelhouse so that now that they're adults, they get into a situation, you know, an opportunity, that they have a comfort zone.
But, you know, our lazy Sunday mornings were no longer. our going out was no longer. Traveling, we still traveled quite a bit with the kids. The motorcycle was put on hold because, you know, I didn't want to die leaving three kids on a motorcycle accident.
But it's back.
Well, he not only has one, he has two. But, yeah, so pre- and post-family life are, you know, very different for us, but loving every bit of our life together.
But now it's starting to come full circle, but... Maybe not so much of the exercise part.
Speak for yourself there.
The father and the son.
What were the good old days?
Are you referring to when I was growing up?
Whatever it means to you, yeah.
Well, let's see, the good old days. I'll tell you what, growing up, with two brothers, I would call that the good old days.
Oh, wow. Well, I know I used, like, the reunions don't seem to be what they used to be. I know that. I remember going to Pleasant Valley and, well, for years wishing I could play in the married against the unmarried in the softball game, and then I actually started playing in it, and then I moved away. But since then, that reunion has, I guess they don't even have it anymore as far as I know. Well, I remember growing up, like, you know, we'd be riding four-wheeler or going for a walk, and neighbors didn't care if you got on their property, or same way with hunting, just take off and you go. And if you see somebody on their own property, go up, chat with them for a while, and no problem. But that doesn't seem to be the way things are anymore. When I was still working out there in Garrett County, going home from work, you know, sometimes if I see somebody outside in their yard or whatever, just swing in and stop and chat for a while, that kind of thing. And it doesn't seem to be the case that much anymore.
Yeah.
Where I'm at now, it's just busy, busy, busy. That's why, part of the reason I prefer the country.
The good old days were probably back in, you know, when I was a younger kid. Growing up on the farm there, I was pretty excited about a lot of things, just the simplest things, you know, being able to go camping with friends, or, you know, the Cowboys and Indians thing that we did on ponies. We actually used live ponies a couple of times, and that didn't work out too well, but it was still pretty exciting. You know, and I know you did stuff as well you have stories that could easily fit into that category. But I think for me, it was probably the excitement that came with even just the smallest things. Those were part of the good old days for sure.
The stress-free going out, playing, and having a good day. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We, you know, we had a group of friends that in the neighborhood that we could, we'd get together on Sunday afternoons and play football, you know, backyard football kind of stuff. And then there was ice skating on a pond up the dirt road from us. That's not a dirt road anymore. Then, you know, camping, of course, and going swimming over at Pleasant Valley. Those things, the thing that I liked probably most, it wasn't just specifically the activity, but just that it was carefree and it was exciting. You know, it was sort of an adventure all the time.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
That's what it was for me. And, you know, kind of like, I think, I recall you and Corey made this video, the detective video or something like that, in which you built a zip line or something and came and flew off the roof. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you have it right. Every time I go back home, I look for that video and I can't seem to find it anywhere. I don't know who has it or what happened to it, but I'd love to get my hands on it.
But you spent a day, you know, just doing that, and it was, you probably, I wasn't there, but I bet you were probably completely engaged in it and, you know, excited about coming up with the story and, you know, doing the filming and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yet nothing else mattered.
Exactly. And Terry Beisel and I used to, about any, just about anything, we had a joke, you know, we should make a video of this. And we made a few videos, but it was always fun to, you know, think of what you would do if you had a camera and you could film the story that was in your head.
That would get some people in trouble, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Probably better not to have the camera sometimes, yeah. I'm with you.
Well, to me, it... the good old days, you could make a deal with a handshake and figure that's the way it's going to be. Pretty well, that's it.
All right.
And my mind goes back to when we lived in here, and I was just young, growing up, and we were my dad's family was milking cows. We didn't have a lot of luxuries, a lot of modern things. I remember when we got our first refrigerator, but we had all the milk and cream we wanted. We had lots of ice cream parties, especially with Lawrence Beitzel's family. Lawrence and my dad were brothers, and Thelma and my mom were sisters. So we were like double first cousins. We just kind of almost lived together like a family, you know. And we were together a lot. But then other cousins, we'd have lots of ice cream parties, homemade ice cream. You didn't have the electric ice cream freezers either. You turned it and turned it till you start counting your turns, then you trade off with the other person, you know, to get that ice cream froze. And just life was a little more simple. There wasn't so much stuff going on everywhere, more than like those little homemade things, you know, or home parties that we used to do. And not near as much traffic either. Life is just more simple.
At that time, so there's some people, they knew that somebody had an ice cream party. They enjoyed going and sneaking a freezer full of ice cream away.
That was my dad. Yeah.
With that bicycle. Somebody snuck a freezer of ice cream out of the house?
Well, might have been the basement or outside someplace.
They would. There was like their cousins would get together, and then these boys would. It was just so much fun to take one of these freezers away, go and eat it themselves. Then one time, a lady, one of their aunts, they had chocolate cake yet too, and so these guys went and took the chocolate cake away too, and then they went and put the.
They ate it.
Yeah, and they put the empty pan back, but what they did, they put June bugs in the pans, and when the lady came back to get some more cake, it was kind of dark. They didn't have lights everywhere, and she said, "Oh, this is where that chocolate cake was," but she said, "Looks like it's all gone, but the crumbs," she said, and. So I think, didn't she take a bite?
Thought it was crumbs and it was June bugs.
Yeah, my goodness. That kind of thing they would just love to do. My dad told that story.
How big were these freezers?
Probably
gallon and a half to two, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just as small.
I was thinking like a chest freezer.
No. It's the old hand freezer. I don't need
to freeze the ice cream. We have two. Do you want to buy one? We have two electric freezers. We don't make ice cream anymore, but the electric is easier to do. But people just don't make ice cream anymore like that.
No, they go to store and buy it, which is a lot simpler and easier.
Doesn't taste as good. Yeah. I remember you made it a few times.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that.
I had a 5-gallon freezer, and then I had one of these old John Deere hit and miss engines. I don't know if you ever saw or heard any of them or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I had, and then I had it on a trailer, and I'd hook it behind my pickup or car, I forget which it was, and pull in there, and I had my mix and everything in, ready to go. I'd pull that in there and I'd start that old hit and miss engine, go pop, pop. And that brought a lot of attention. There was people around watching, seeing how that thing didn't know how it operates and that. Brought a lot of attention.
That's something you rigged together yourself, huh?
Yeah.
You said you went to the fairgrounds.
It was next to the fairgrounds at a campground.
That G&W. No.
Is it?
Double
I think
G
it is.
Campground.
Double G, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why'd you go up there with here?
Well, the Double G, we's good friends, Double G and that. And,
And, did he offer you to do that, or what?
I forget how we got together. Yeah, I got it, and then I'm not sure if I said something to them, or but they were ready, willing to, yeah, because I'd give them ice cream then to eat, and they enjoyed that too.
So yeah. you didn't sell it; you were just
I sold it.
Oh, you did
a dish, a dollar for a dish.
Okay,
fairly good sized dish.
Until one day, the health department
come along and said,
"What was that?"
The long nose.
Oh yeah.
They come along and they said, "You got to have a triple stainless steel sink, and you got to have hot water, and I don't know." They had different things that they said I got to do. Got to do, and I said, I do. And they said, yes. I said, no, I don't. So I quit.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous to have all that just to serve it. The ice cream was in the freezer. All you did was dip it out.
Right.
Well, we washed our stuff up when we came home. That was...
Yeah, just one of them.
We did it like for... Was it just 1 year or was it a couple years?
Yeah. But that's the way she goes. That's one of those things that back in some of them days you could do things which nowadays you can't.
Mm-hmm. Now we wouldn't have the energy to do it all like with our other stuff. And Grandpa going to the hospital so much, and well, life is just a little more complicated than it used to be, I guess.
Intros are songs too.
Hi Shane, it's Nick Hilton calling with Brotherhood Academy Radio Podcast, and I'm here to leave you my answer for your question for your season finale. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I really appreciate the product that you created for our podcast. Like I had said earlier, it's been stuck in my head, and every time I hear it, it's stuck in my head the whole day. So it's definitely what we were looking for. So I am honored to be able to do this. I think this is great. And the question that you asked, what were the good old days, fits in really well with the podcast that I'm doing, and my co-host, who is also my best friend, is helping me out with. He and I grew up together. We were literally babies together, toddlers together. And we thought that we were cousins up until we were probably 12 years old. And then the news was broken to us that we're not really cousins. But that didn't matter. And I look back on those days when we were growing up around the fire department. Our fathers were firefighters. His dad was the fire chief. His dad still is the fire chief to this day. And those days were a lot of fun. We did a lot of things together growing up. We went to a lot of fires with our dads. We learned a lot. We went to different fire musters and fire events. Just growing up back in the 80s and 90s, it was just a lot simpler. So as we get older, we join the fire department, turn 18, we join the fire department, and we feel like we have that place by the balls, pretty much. The volunteer fire department, young blood coming in, no responsibilities in life other than going to work to make a paycheck and leaving work and going to the firehouse every single day after work, volunteering our time, training, making the place a better place to be, and just having fun, waiting for that tone to drop, waiting for the bells to go off so that we can go to the next fire. And I look back on those days and I say, God, those were the good old days. They really were. Life was simple. You know, it was just, it was great. And then you fast forward to today. Paul and I are now grown up. We have kids of our own. We have wives, full-time jobs, big responsibilities. When we think back to those old days, God, those were the good old days. But you know what? In all honesty, and my true feeling on the good old days, and this is what I've started to tell new members of our fire department, that right now, where we are right now, these are the good old days. These will always be the good old days. Every day brings something new. The past is the past. We learn from the past. We reminisce about the past. But today, we're able to create our future, and we're able to create something better for our kids, something better for our fire department and our future members. So to honestly answer your question, Shane, today, right now, these are the good old days. So thanks again, Shane, and it's been a pleasure. And like I said, Shane, these are the good old days.
It was April 18th, 2018, at 1:12 a.m. I wrote down where I write all my song ideas on my phone in the notes. Says, next Root Note question. What were the good old days? Andy Bernard. I wish I knew when the good old days were happening. At the beginning of this episode, I left out the end of that clip because I didn't notice it when I was watching the Office finale. So 5 months later, I find the clip on YouTube for this episode and, well, have a listen.
The weird thing is, now I'm exactly where I want to be. I got my dream job at Cornell. And I'm still just thinking about my old pals. Only now they're the ones I made here. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. Someone should write a song about that.
Use these training wheels. I have my own Game Boy. I'll reach a higher branch when I'm a big boy. Adults talk about the best parts. Man, do they sound great. I wish I knew when they start, 'cause I do not wanna wait for the good old days. I guess they're fast and strong, like the older kids, 'cause they came and gone, so I missed the good old days. I'll put all my windows down, hold my girlfriend's hand, take a drive to another town when I get my chance. Quit a job and pick guitars. Go from stage to stage. This time I'll hear it when they start, but I do not wanna wait for the good old days. I guess they're out of sight, like a leap of faith, 'cause they seem to hide when I could have made the good old days. And I don't know what's worse, waiting for the dream, or the fact it hurts. They're just memories of the good old days.
Brought to you by Put Them in a Song, in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.